All right, well, of course, tonight is our graduation service, and we're going to have some pizza after the service. So we hope that you'll stick around and fellowship with us. After the service, you can make your way into the fellowship hall, and I don't remember what the number is, but I think we've got like 35 large pizzas on their way. So we'd love for you to stick around and fellowship with us. And after the service, make sure you congratulate these young kids, and they've done a good job. Kindergarten, I think, is probably the hardest grade to go through. That's the grade where they learn how to read, and that's the grade where they really get started. So praise the Lord for them. Of course, being our graduation service, I always like to preach a shorter sermon on this night, and I like to speak something in regards to the children and the young people. You're there in 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'd like you to look down at verse number 10, and if you don't mind writing in your Bible or putting notes in your Bible, if you're in the habit of writing in your Bible, I'd like you to notice this little phrase there in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 10. The Bible says, this is, of course, the Apostle Paul speaking to Timothy. He says, "But thou hast fully known." I want you to just mark that phrase in your Bible, if you don't mind underlining in your Bible. He says, "But thou hast fully known." Notice what he says that Timothy has known. He says, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecutions, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things that thou hast learned and has been assured of," notice this phrase, "knowing of whom thou hast learned them." He says, "knowing of whom thou hast learned them." If you don't mind underlining in your Bible, I'd like you to underline that little phrase, "knowing of whom thou has learned them." Notice verse 15, "and that from a child thou hast known." If you don't mind underlining your Bible, I'd like you to underline that little phrase, "that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." I'd like you to notice that in this little passage of scripture here, the Apostle Paul, speaking to this young man Timothy, highlights the facts that Timothy, he knows some things. There are some things that are known of Timothy or known to Timothy. He says there in verse number 10, "but thou hast fully known," and he gives a list of things that Timothy has fully known: my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. He says there in verse 14, "continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of." He says, "knowing of whom thou hast learned them." And then in verse 15, he gives us this very famous phrase in the Word of God. He says, "and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures." I'd like to speak to you tonight on the subject of what every child must know. What every child must know, what every child should know, what every child needs to know. When it comes to this idea of children within the ministry and children within church, I spent last Sunday night speaking on the subject of the family integrated church and how to be a part of a family integrated church. And of course, our church is very different than most churches in the sense that we are a family integrated church. What that means is that we do not separate children from their parents. We do not have separate children's ministries or children's classes. We don't have a separate children's church or Sunday school class or nurseries or anything like that. There is no ministry and no system in this church, and this is done on purpose, that is set up in order to separate the parent from the child. We are a family integrated church. We keep the entire family together for the church services. We have mother baby rooms and daddy rooms, of course, available to help you with your little ones as needed, but we do not have children's ministries. However, that is not true of most churches, and the average church in America today is not a family-integrated church. Most churches that you may visit or go to all have children's ministries to some extent or another, and I could preach a whole sermon on the subject of children's ministries, but I'd like to just give you a couple of thoughts in regards to children's ministries. And sometimes people ask the question, you know, why do you not have children's ministries, or what's the problem with children's ministries? And like I said, I could preach a whole sermon on that, and maybe one day I will. I would like to say this. The very obvious problem with most children's ministries in churches today, and I'm not talking about just liberal churches, I'm talking about independent Fundamental Baptist, conservative, traditional churches, is that oftentimes these children ministries in which they put the children, they are full of activity, but they are not full of Bible teaching. They have a lot of games and a lot of activities. They have a lot of crafts and a lot of coloring pages, and we're not against any of that. All those things are fine things. I do believe some churches take it to an extreme. There are literally churches across this country that will have children. Parents will show up to a church, drop off their kids in a separate location, and go into the worship service or the church service while their children literally play video games through the church service, and they call that a children's ministry. Obviously, that's wicked and that's stupid. But even in churches that don't take it to that extreme, many children's ministries are full of activity. They are full of games and fun things. And again, we're not against any of those things. But what they lack is real Bible teaching. In fact, today, in America today, it is possible for a child to be born into a quote-unquote Christian home and to be raised in a quote-unquote Christian church, and to have never in their entire lives sat through a church service. I don't know if you just heard what I said or if you understood what I said, but it is possible for a kid in this country to be born into a Christian home, grow up in a church, and to have never, from 0 till 18 years old, to have never had to sat through a church service where the Word of God was opened by a man of God, by a pastor, and taught and instructed from the Word of God. I mean, the systems are in place in most churches where you go from the nursery to children's church to bigger children's church to youth group, and these kids have activities for every service and activities for every program, and they literally have never, they grow up going to church and never once have actually sat in church in the congregation singing with the congregation under the preaching of the Word of God. Now, I say that to say this. Is it no wonder that we are being told today that 66% of 18 to 22-year-olds, when they get to that age of 18 years old, we're told that 66% of children that grow up in church when they turn 18 years old leave church, never to return. And people are shocked by that. And people are shocked by the fact that what's going on when 18-year-olds, and by the way, let me say this, thank God that that's not the case at Verity Baptist Church. And you're doing something right in the way you're raising your children, because we've raised around here some amazing young people that love the Lord and serve God, and they've got a genuine walk with God. So I thank the Lord that that is not the case here at our church. But today, people are looking at these numbers and saying, what is going on when 66% of 18-year-olds that grew up in church are quitting church? And the answer is, they're quitting church because they were never in church. They were never taught to be in a congregation, to be part of a local assembly, to sit under the preaching of a pastor, and to be ministered through the Word of God. Many of these young adults were entertained their entire lives. They've been sat and entertained for years, never discipled, never raised to love the Lord and to love the Word of God. And the question we have to ask ourselves, and the question I want us as a church to ask ourselves is, are we teaching our children the things that they need to know? Because here, Paul tells us about Timothy. I think it's an amazing statement. In fact, if you're a parent, you should underline this phrase, circle it in your Bible, just mull over these thoughts where Paul looks at this young man, Timothy, in 2 Timothy 3:15, and he says, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. That is a testament to the home in which Timothy was raised. that the Apostle Paul could say to him, I know that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So the question is, what does every child need to know? What is it that should be our goal, my goal, and your goal for our children as they grow up in our home? What is it that we would want to be able to look back in their lives and be able to say, from a child thou hast known, from a child you have known some things? Well, I want you to notice here from Timothy, what is it that he knew? And if you're taking notes, and I would encourage you to take notes on the back of your course of the week, there's a place where you jot some things down. I want you to notice what Timothy knew. From a child, what is it that he knew? And the first thing, we've already seen it here. Number one, Timothy knew the Word of God. We should make sure that our children know the Word of God. Notice there again, 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child thou hast known, notice, the Holy Scriptures. Paul looked at Timothy and he said, Timothy, I know that you grew up in a home. I know that you grew up in a situation where you were taught the Holy Scriptures. I know that you have known the Word of God. And I would submit to you tonight, Mom and Dad, that it is our job, as we have these five little kindergartners graduate here today, and of course showing that they are growing up and they are having some of these milestones in their life. Our job should be to make sure that these kids in our homes grow up and know the Word of God, that they know the Holy Scriptures. Notice again there in verse 10, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 10, but thou hast fully known, notice what Paul says, he says, my doctrine. He said, you've fully known my doctrine. He said, you know the Word of God. You know what the word doctrine means, teaching. He says, you know what the Word of God teaches. Keep your place there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you would tonight. That's our text for tonight. But I'd like you to go with me to a very well-known passage, Proverbs chapter 22. If you open up your Bible just right in the center, you would more than likely fall in the book of Psalms. And right after Psalms, you have the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 22. Whenever we speak on the subject of child-rearing, this is a passage that we often go to. It's a very well-known passage, especially considering the fact that we spent the last 16 weeks on this Happily Ever After series. We've looked at this verse a lot, but I want you to see it. I want to just highlight maybe something a little different than I have over the last several weeks as we've looked at this. Proverbs 22 and verse 6, I want you to notice what the Bible says. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. Train up a child in the way he should go. I want you to notice that little word there, child. Train up a child in the way he should go. And then the verse says, and when he is old, I want you to notice that verse there, that word old, when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, usually when we come to Proverbs 22 and verse 6, we talk about the fact, and I think it's appropriate, that child rearing requires training, that we need to train children, and that we are training them to be adults. And that's obviously the primary application, and that's what this is talking about. But I want you to notice the word child and the word old. The word child and the word old. And again, if you don't mind writing in your Bible, underlining your Bible, taking notes in your Bible, I'd like you to draw a little arrow from the word child to the word old. Because I want you to understand this, that everything in a person's life is connected. We live in this world that teaches us, and maybe it's just the way we have to deal with life, that our lives are separated into these different sequences or stations. And we talk about a person's life when they were a child, and when we talk about maybe when they were a teenager, and we talk about maybe when they were a single adult, or when they were a young adult, or when they were a newlywed, or when they were a younger adult, maybe a middle-aged adult, maybe an elderly adult. And we look at life in this way. But the Bible here is telling us that our lives are connected. See, everything that you and I, as mom and dad, as parents, everything that we do with children in their childhood will affect and influence them into adulthood. This is why the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. What we do with our children in their childhood will affect them, will influence them, will reach out and have an impact on them when they are old. in their adulthood. This is why I often try to tell parents, remember that you are not raising children, you are raising adults. They are children in your home, but you're not raising children. You're raising children to one day be adults. This is why I always try to tell parents, you need to be very careful about the things that you allow your children to do. You need to be very careful about the influences that you allow in your children's life. You need to be very careful. There are some things that my wife and I, and we've got our Christian home, and you've got your Christian home, and we'll answer to God for what was done in our home, and you'll answer to God for what was done in your home. But I will tell you this, there are some things that we've decided, no, we're not going to have our kids be involved in that or be a part of that. Or you say, well, what's wrong with it? Well, I'll tell you, there are just some things where you just kind of open a door into other things. And you think, oh, well, what's the big deal? They're just a little child. But it's not separated. It doesn't work that way. When you allow influences into their life, when they're children, when you allow certain music, when you allow certain movies, when you allow certain ideas to creep in, you say, well, they're just children. But you don't understand that it's all connected. And the things that we allow in the lives of our children will influence them in adulthood. Train up a child, the Bible says, in the way he should go for when he is an adult. See, have you ever had this idea? Well, we'll let them do this till they're 7 years old, and then we'll stop. No, no, no. You've already lost. You've already opened the door. You've already let the wrong influence in. Everything's connected. What we do with them as children, how we treat them as children, what we allow into their lives as children will influence them as adults, because we are training them as children to be adults. We're supposed to be raising them to be adults. One thing that we must make sure of, we should make sure that our children know the Word of God. We should make sure that it can be said, like the Apostle Paul said to Timothy, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, that thou hast fully known my doctrine. And here's the question I have for you, Mom, and here's the question I have for you, Dad, and here's the question that every parent should be asking themselves, and every grandparent should be asking themselves, and every aunt and uncle and every person that is able to influence any child in their lives, are we training the children in our lives to listen to the Lord? You say, listen to the Lord. Remember Samuel? Remember Samuel in the Old Testament? As a little boy, the Bible tells us that the Lord called him, and Samuel did not understand, did not perceive that it was the Lord, and he went to his human authority, Eli, and he misunderstood, and when God spoke to Samuel, and we understand that God spoke to Samuel in a very physical way, and God's not going to do that today, but the illustration is this. When God spoke to Samuel, Samuel did not understand the voice of the Lord, and he misunderstood it for the voice of Eli, his parental guardian. You say, what is that? Hey, that should be a very sombering thought to you, Mom and Dad. Think about the fact that this little boy Samuel heard the voice of God. God spoke down to Samuel and said, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel woke up and said, Eli must be calling. God spoke to Samuel and Samuel thought, Dad must be calling. God spoke to Samuel and Samuel thought, Mom must be calling. Do you understand, Mom and Dad, that you are a representative of God on this earth to your children? They do not have the senses exercised to be able to hear God speak through the Word of God and through the preaching of the Word of God till they get to a place in life where they can open up the Word of God when they are saved and they've got the Holy Spirit and they can have God speak to them through His Word or through the preaching of His Word. Until they can mature to that place, it is you who represents God in their lives. I was recently joking around with somebody. Somebody was telling me that, and don't misunderstand this, I hope you don't take this the wrong way. Somebody was telling me that their kid looked at me and said, there's Jesus. And they thought I was Jesus, and we laughed about it. But the truth is, over the last 11 years, I have found that that's a very common thing. I can't tell you how many scores of kids through the years have called me Jesus and referred to me as Jesus, because in their minds, when they're very small, they don't understand and they see the human authority that God has placed over them spiritually as a representation of the Lord Jesus Christ and God. And you say, well, what does that mean? It should be very sombering. Here's what it means. It means that I've got little kids in this church that are looking around and they see me and they see the way I act. They see the way I speak. They see the way I dress. They see my attitude. They see my life and they think that's what Jesus must be like. Because that's the picture they have of Jesus in their lives right now. And praise God for it. I'm going to try to do right by them. And mom and dad, you should do right by them. Why? Because you are a representation of God in their life. God calls down to Samuel. Samuel says it must be Eli. And what does Eli do? Eli allows Samuel to come once and twice. And then Eli discerns that God is speaking to Samuel. And Eli teaches Samuel. Eli tells Samuel, the next time you hear the voice, don't come to me. Samuel did the right thing. He came to Eli. Eli taught Samuel, the next time you hear the voice, here's what I want you to say. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And Eli taught Samuel to develop a conversation and a walk with the Lord. And here's the question I have for you, Mom. And here's the question I have for you, Dad. Are we teaching our children to listen to the Lord? Are we teaching them to feed on God's word? Are we teaching them to have a heart for God? In your Christian home, I want to encourage you, you should be teaching your children to memorize scripture. In your Christian home, you should be reading the Word of God with your children and teaching your children and helping them learn the great stories of the Bible. The Bible is the greatest book ever written. It's got some of the greatest stories the world has ever known. And it is our job to make sure that our children learn the great stories of the Bible, that they memorize scriptures from the Bible, that they understand the doctrines of the Bible. Let's make sure they know the stories. Let's make sure they know about David and Goliath and Adam and Eve and the walls of Jericho and Jonah being swallowed by a whale. Let's make sure they know all the stories in the Bible. Let's make sure they memorize scripture. But let's also make sure they understand doctrine. Thou hast fully known my doctrine. And Paul said, let's make sure they understand what salvation is and what we believe about eternal security and what we believe about the Word of God and what baptism is and what all these things. Let's make sure they understand the Bible. Why? Because our goal in life and in parenting ought to be that it can be said of our children, thou that from a child thou hast fully known the Holy Scriptures. Amen. They need to know the Word of God. Now, I want you to notice, secondly, as we ask this question about Timothy, what was it that Timothy knew? What was it that this child knew? I want you to notice that not only did he know the Word of God, that from a child that has known the Holy Scriptures, but I want you to notice, secondly, tonight, if you would, keep your place in Proverbs. I'm not sure if you're still in Proverbs. Keep your finger right there. We're going to come back to it. But go with me, if you would, to the book of 2 Timothy. Go back to 2 Timothy. But this time, go to chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You know what I believe? I believe that children will make a full circle. If we train them right in those early ages, even if they go astray, I believe they'll eventually make a full circle. And obviously, I can't speak 100% for every situation, but I'm encouraged by the story of Moses. Remember Moses? He was not able to stay in his home. His mother had to put him in a river and send him away. But by the providence of God, Moses was given back to his mother to be nursed. She was to watch him and raise him for Pharaoh's daughter. And for those first few years, those nursing years, how many years was that? We don't know. In the ancient world, we know that they nursed maybe a little longer than mothers nurse today. But either way, it was 2 years, 3 years, 4 years maybe that Moses was in the home of his mother. Let's say it was 2 or 3 years. Those 2 or 3 years were enough of an impact that the 40-year-old man, Moses, would hear the voice of the Lord speaking to him through a burning bush and would make full circle and come back and serve God. You say, what is that? That's train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it. So we should make sure that our children know the work of God, the Word of God. Let me say this secondly tonight. We should make sure our children see a walk with God. I want you to notice that Paul in his letters to Timothy, he kind of speaks a lot about Timothy and his youth. He says that thou hast known He said that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, I want you to notice what the Apostle Paul says to Timothy about his childhood. He says, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, when I call to remembrance, notice these words, the unfeigned faith that is in thee. That word unfeigned means that it's genuine. It's authentic. When something is feigned, it means it's fake. When somebody says, oh, that person, you know, a little kid starts crying, and you're feigning. You're feigning sick. You're feigning that you're hurt. What are you saying? You're not really hurt. You're just acting like it. Here Paul says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith, he says, the faith that's not fake. It's not, it's genuine. It's authentic. It's real. Paul is telling Timothy, I know that your walk with God and your faith in God is real. He says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. And then I want you to notice what he says. He says, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. See, not only was Timothy taught the word of God, because Paul tells us that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, but we know that Timothy also saw a genuine walk with God. Because Paul tells us that Timothy here has unfeigned faith, but he says that unfeigned faith dwelt first with his grandmother Lois and with his mother Eunice. Paul says, Timothy, I know that your mom was a real Christian. She walked with God. She had an authentic, genuine walk with the Lord. And I know that your grandmother was a devoted Christian and a devout Christian. And she walked with God. And she had a genuine walk with the Lord. And I know that you grew up watching that. And you grew up these women, watching these women that love the Lord and serve the Lord. And now I know that you have the same unfeigned faith. That's a powerful thought. By the way, lest you think, well, you know, I don't have the perfect home and I don't have the ability to be able to maybe raise kids in this way. Our home is broken, or our home is this, or our home is that. You know, it's interesting to me that you never hear mentioned Timothy's father. He's not recognized in this list. Paul does not mention his father. He says, I know your mom walked with God. I know your grandmother walked with God. In fact, when you meet Timothy in the book of Acts, he's just a young man that kind of just starts hanging out with Paul, and Paul just takes him under his wing. Paul ends up circumcising him, and we're told that his father is a Gentile, but that's all we're told. And as far as we can tell, there is no dad influence in the life of Timothy. I think there was a very wise mother and grandmother who realized that there was no leader that was there as a man to be able to lead Timothy, so they made sure to get Timothy with the man of God, Paul. And Paul took him under his wing, and all throughout the New Testament, Paul refers to Timothy as his son in the faith. But I want you to notice that his mother and his grandmother had a genuine walk with God, and Timothy saw that. You say, what does that mean? Here's what it means. It means that their walk with God was without hypocrisy, without pretension. It was faith that is devout and genuine. See, Timothy didn't go home and watch his mother and his grandmother act a certain way at church and act a different way at home. He didn't go home and watch his mother and grandmother dress a certain way at church and dress another way at home. He didn't go home and watch his mother and grandmother speak to the pastor and the pastor's wife in a certain way, but then on the way home, they would criticize and bad talk and bad mouth. No, see, Paul says, I know, Timothy, that your mother and your grandmother, they were the real thing. They were genuine. They were not hypocrites. There was no pretension in their walk. They were devout. They were genuine. They were authentic. I know you saw that. I know you saw that walk with God. And he says, now I know that that unfeigned faith is in you. He said, what do my kids need to know? Here's what your kids need to know. They need to know the word of God, and they need to know that you have a genuine walk with God. Amen. And if they sense hypocrisy, if they sense pretension, if they sense any sort of feign or fakeness, then don't be surprised when they grow up to walk away from the things of God. You say, what do our kids need to know? They need to know the Word of God. What do they need to know? They need to see a walk with God. Let me give you a last one tonight. We'll finish up. Go back to 1 Timothy, if you would, 1 Timothy chapter 4. You're there in 2 Timothy, just flip back to 1 Timothy chapter 4. I said, number one, they need to know the Word of God, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. I said, number two, they need to see a walk with God. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. But I want you to notice thirdly tonight what our children need to know. We should make sure that our children learn to work for God. Notice here in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12 what the Apostle Paul says to this young man, Timothy. He says, let no man despise thy youth. He says, let no man despise thy youth. But be thou an example of the believer in word and conversation and charity, in spirit and faith and purity. Here, Paul told Timothy, let no man despise thy youth. Why did Paul tell Timothy this? Because Timothy was a young man that was working for God and serving God and working for the Lord. And it was easy for people to look at Timothy, especially when they felt maybe threatened by him, because here you have this young man who's working for God and living for God and doing these things for the Lord. And then maybe older people that have been saved longer, that are physically older, maybe they felt envious or they felt a little bit of hostility and they would despise Timothy. They would say things like, oh, you're just a young man. You know, what do you know? And here Paul says, hey, let no man despise thy youth. Now Paul says, look, make sure that when you don't let them despise thy youth, make sure you're the real thing, but be thou an example of the believer in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and purity. But Paul tells Timothy, let no man despise thy youth. He says, it's okay that you're working for God, Timothy. Even as a young man, it's all right. You've known the Holy Scriptures from a child. You've seen a genuine walk with God from a child. So it's good for you, Timothy, as a young person, to be working for God. And he says, let no man despise thy youth. Go to Ecclesiastes, if you would. If you kept your place in Proverbs, right after Proverbs, you have the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter number 11. That little phrase, let no man despise thy youth, is a phrase that for many years was very near and dear to my heart. Because when my wife and I started Verity Baptist Church 11 years ago, we were, 24, 25 years old. And back then, you know, I was very thin and I looked very young. And often it would be something that people would comment about, you know, how young I looked. And honestly, back then, it was one of the reasons, obviously, I grew up as an independent fundamental Baptist, so I always believed in wearing a shirt and tie and a suit coat. But one reason that I always wore a white shirt and not maybe other colored shirts is because I'm not a liberal. No, I'm just kidding. It's because I thought that maybe just the most traditional conservative colors that I could wear could help me look older. Because back in those days, people would all the time, they'd be commenting about, how old are you, man? You look so young, you know, and this and that. We were young. I mean, we were young, but I wasn't that young, but I looked even a lot younger back then. That's one of the reasons that once we started training some ushers and things like that, honestly, to be very honest with you, this is not the case anymore, but initially, one of the reasons I stopped welcoming guests before the service is because I would walk up to guests before the service and say, hi, welcome to Verity Baptist Church. You know, I'm the pastor. My name's Pastor Jimenez. Like, you're the pastor? You know, and it was this thing, you know. And by the grace of God, oftentimes, you know, people would treat me a certain way. Then after the service, after they heard me preach, then they were like, oh, hey, pastor, you know, thank you. You know, a little more respect. But I looked really young back then. So, you know, let no man despise thy youth. And people would often say, you know, you're very young. And I said, well, I'm getting older every day, you know. And I had this idea. Now, the Lord played this trick on me, you know, because my wife has always looked amazing. She's beautiful, and she just looks like the day I met her. And for me, the Lord did something different, because for many years, I looked real young. Then one day, I woke up, and I, you know, gained 40 pounds, and then all of a sudden, I look old. And now people are like, you know, are you her father? And so I kind of just skipped that young man age or whatever. And I don't know why you're laughing so loud, but just kidding. I don't think I look that old. Ecclesiastes 11. Here's what I'm telling you, young people. Let no man despise thy youth. You just serve God. You just serve the Lord. You know, you stay humble about it. Don't get all arrogant about it. I remember being 16 and 17 years old, going out soul winning with 40-year-old men, and they were my silent partner. And I respected the fact that they were humble enough to say, wow, can you teach me? And praise God for it. And I wasn't mean to them or arrogant or cocky about it. You say, well, you're 16 and 17 years old, you know, and you're giving the gospel and you're training grown men. Well, you know, from a child, I had known the Holy Scriptures. You know, the Bible says, unto whom much is given, much shall be required. So don't get arrogant about it. Don't get cocky about it. But when people maybe want to throw that in your face, oh, you're just a young person. Hey, let no man despise thy youth. Now, make sure, young people, be thou an example of the believer in word and conversation and charity. If they're saying, oh, you're just a stupid young person because you're acting like a stupid young person, then you deserve that. But if they say, oh, you're just a stupid young person because you're being mature and serving the Lord and doing everything you're supposed to be doing, then let no man despise thy youth. I want to encourage you young people to serve God with your lives. Yeah. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 9, the Bible says, rejoice, O young man. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. And let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. And walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. He says, hey, young man, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. Hey, you're young. You've got strength. You've got time. You've got energy. Rejoice. Let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. Walk in the ways of thine heart and the sight of thine eyes. Notice what he says. But then he says, notice what he says there, Ecclesiastes 11:9. He says, but know thou, go ahead and rejoice. Go ahead and let thy heart cheer. Go ahead and walk in thine heart and the sight of thine ears. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. Hey, you're young. You've got strength. You've got time. You've got maybe a little money. You've been set up well by your parents. They raised you right. So you've got a little bit of success. Hey, know that thou, for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. You know, one thing my wife and I don't regret, one thing we do not regret is spending our youth serving the Lord. And again, I'm only 36 years old, I think. I don't know. She has to tell me. As I get older, I'm losing my mind. I'm not that old. I think I'm going to stick in this thing for a while, Lord willing, if he gives me life. But we spent our youth serving God. We spent our youth serving the Lord. We spent our youth in the house of God, soul winning and ministering and serving the Lord. And I'm thankful for it. Amen. We've got no regrets that we spent our youth in the house of God. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment, young people. Notice verse 10, he says, therefore remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. You say, what does that mean? Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Here's what he's saying. Young people, please listen to me. The things that you will regret in life, the things that you will one day as an older man and an older woman, the things that will bring sorrow to your heart will likely be done in your youth. They will be things that you got involved in and things that you took part in as a young person. Because remember, when we started the sermon, there's no such thing as your teenage years and your adult years. No, it's all connected. So the things that you involve yourself in your youth will come back and appear in your old age. And he says, remove sorrow from thy heart, put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. You say, what's he saying? Please, young people, please listen to me. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, live your life in such a way that when you are young, live your life in such a way that when you are old, you'll have no regrets. Amen. You'll have no regrets. He says, childhood and youth are vanity. So live in such a way that you remove sorrow from thy heart. You put away evil from thy flesh. You do that in your youth, because when you train up a child in the way he should go, when he is old, he shall not depart from it. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. We'll finish up. I'm not sure if the pizza's here or not, but we're just going to finish. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Ecclesiastes, the preacher, he tells young people. Now, when he ends the book, you know, the conclusion of the whole matter is, to serve God with your life. But here, he kind of gives us the conclusion for young people. And he says, here's the conclusion, young people. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Serve God in your youth. Live for God while you're young. Live for God, I can tell you, you'll grow up to not regret it. So what is it that our children must know? What is it that we must guarantee that they know? Well, we need to make sure that they know the Word of God. And that from a child that has known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. We should know that they see a walk with God. I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. It's interesting to me that Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:10, he says, thou hast fully known my doctrine. That is, that from a child that has known the Holy Scriptures. And then he also says, my manner of life. That is the unfeigned faith. They should know the Word of God. They should see a walk with God. And then lastly tonight, they should learn to work for God. Let no man despise thy youth. But be thou an example of the believer in word and conversation, in charity, in spirit, and faith, and purity. This is what every child should know. This is what Timothy knew. So mom, dad, here's your job. Here's your task. So what do my kids need to know? Here's what they need to know. The Word of God. They need to know that you, mom, that you, dad, have a genuine walk with God. And they need you to involve them in the work of God. And when we do that, I have a feeling that when they are old, they shall not depart from it. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this example from Timothy. And Lord, I pray you'd help us. I pray you'd help us to raise kids that love you, serve you. Lord, I thank you for my wife and family you've given me, 6 children you've given us to raise. Lord, I pray you'd help us to have a Christian home that would honor you. Lord, I pray that every mom and dad and every grandmother and grandfather in this room tonight would take it and see it as their divine responsibility to make sure that these kids know the Word of God, that they know doctrine, that they know the great stories of the Bible, that they know that they have Bible memorized, that we would give them an example of a genuine walk with God, and that we could all get involved as a family-integrated church in the work of God. We love you. In the matchless name of Christ, we pray. Amen.